Welcome to the One Board Podcast. My name is Ryan Gutowski, and today, not as always, I have Bob Kroll. How are you doing, Bob?
Should be as always.
You can be Rick's replacement. You know what Rick's
what's
doing?
What's up, man? Like, what's Rick got that I don't have?
Rick's investing in the future of our country, tutoring children. You know what?
All right.
Forget him. You know, he's shown us where his priorities lie.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
Not with board games.
Yeah.
With the education of children.
Wow. Wow. How misguided. What a terrible person. Anyway, how are you doing, Bob? You doing all right, man?
Yeah, I'm doing really good, Ryan. Doing really good. How
good.
About yourself?
Doing well, man. We actually had some gaming this weekend over at your house. Josiah and myself had to get out of the house for a little bit, and so we came over to your place, and we did some gaming and had a really good time. Thanks for hosting
us. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anytime, man. It was a great time.
Yeah.
And I knew the game that I wanted to play, too. I had it already laid out. You know,
yeah.
The second you said, hey, we got to get out of the house, I said, hey, I got an idea.
And it was a game I hadn't played. Yeah, it was a game I hadn't played before, so it's actually going to come up later in the episode for our topic of the show. So that's going to be really cool. So before we get to the topic of the show, we're going to talk about what we've been playing. So, Bob, tell me about something you've been playing, man.
So one of the games I've been playing is called Gugong.
Okay, now
that's
this is not Gugong. As in, like,
yeah, no.
The stuff that, like, the remover.
The glue, yeah. The,
glue remover,
The glue remover, Gooby Gong. No, this is Gugong, G-U-G-O-N-G. And it is a an Chinese game, well, based on a Chinese-themed game, about the Ming Dynasty and the trading of gifts, or... I think the theme goes, I don't know my history, everyone, so
hey, that's all good.
The theme goes something like there were some problems in political government over there where they couldn't bribe people, or they were trying to stop people from bribing officials, so instead they came up with this thing where you would bring a gift to someone. And you would give them a really nice gift, the best gift you could come up with, very expensive, very extravagant gift, and you would give that to that person. And they would give you something horrible in return.
Wow.
It's still a gift, but you would get something, so it's kind of like, hey, you're giving me something, I'm giving you something.
Yeah.
This is a mutually agreed equal trade. No, it's not.
Yeah.
You know, so based off of that politicalness is this theme where you're using action selection and hand management, where there's like seven spots on the board. And ultimately, excuse me, it's about victory points, you know, so what game is not about victory points? So ultimately it's about victory points. There's seven areas on the board where you are doing different things to obtain victory points.
Cool.
And you're holding gifts in your hand that have a value on them and trading them onto the board for gifts of lesser value to use in a following round.
Yeah.
But by trading those gifts allows you to take different actions on the board to obtain victory points.
Hmm.
So it's hand management, action selection, worker placement. It's really good, and you really need to play it.
Yeah, Gugong has been a big hit. I mean, that it shows up in people's you know, best of lists recently, and I think it's definitely going to be. Is that a 2019 release?
Oh, you put me on the spot here, Rye.
I'm going to say it was
because I don't remember seeing this until like a month ago, month and a half ago.
It was at the very beginning of the year, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it is a 2019 release, hopefully we'll see it last this year, so.
Yeah.
Cool. Aaron and I woke up Saturday morning and played, no, Sunday morning and played Castles of Burgundy, the dice game. This is, okay. Yeah, that's, it's a good one. We forget sometimes because it's such a small game, it kind of slides to the back. We've been reorganizing our shelves and I saw it. I was like, oh crap, we got to play this. And basically it is a roll and write around Castles of Burgundy, which is one of Aaron and I's favorite two-player games. Even though it plays up to four, Castles of Burgundy is such a great two-player experience. And so the dice game works really well because you've got that element of each turn is going to be slightly different, and then there's this element of one of the dice being a time dice. It either gives you a timer symbol of one or a timer symbol of two. And so it tells you kind of the speed of the round. Our last round, it plays in a series of three rounds. And then our last round, I mean, we rolled double timestamp almost every single time. So that last round was just like so fast and so quick. I end up coming out just a couple points over Aaron. I got some bonuses that she didn't get, but it was a good game. I miss playing this, and I think we're going to bring this one to the table more often. So
yeah, and I love the one of the cool things about this is you get the feel, not the full feel,
yeah,
but you get the feel of Castles of Burgundy in a small footprint, portable. So you can take this game, like, absolutely anywhere.
Oh, definitely.
There's not a whole lot of places where you can just go out in public and plop down Castles of Burgundy and just start playing, you know?
Yeah. If you like the feel of Castles of Burgundy, which we love, but you really need it to be a little quicker, Sunday morning we had some stuff that we had to get done for hosting something at our house. And so we had just a limited amount of time to play some games. And so that's why that one hit the table, because we got it, played it, and we were finished in 20 minutes. And actually, Erin told me she needs a rematch when we're done with this podcast so that she can beat me. I have a funny feeling it's not going to happen. So,
wow. And actually, this question comes up a lot. Surprisingly or not surprisingly, I don't know, but I've been asked this multiple times. How do you rank Castles of Burgundy, Castles of Burgundy the dice game, and Castles of Burgundy the card game? And exactly in that order for me. Castles of Burgundy, the original Steffenfeld release, is phenomenal.
So good.
Castles the dice game, phenomenal. Castles the card game, I like it. I like it a lot. But out of the three, it's the last that I'm going to choose to play. So,
yeah. Yeah, the card game, it seems like it takes up so much space and it almost doesn't seem
worth it. It is very big.
Yeah.
For tiny cards, and, you know, it's very big.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not worth, I don't know. They could have condensed it maybe a little more. I haven't actually played it, but I've seen it being played, and I'm like, wow.
It's still very good. It
takes up almost the same amount of space.
Yeah, as the original game, right? Yeah. It's still very good, though.
Speaking of dice, what else have you been playing?
Oh, yeah. Speaking of dice.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to keep the same theme going here, and we're going to talk about another roll and write. I'm going to talk about the best roll and write in existence.
You love this thing.
Oh, it's so good, Ryan. It is so good. And it has been weeks since I've had this game.
Yeah.
And you've yet to play it.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know what's happening. Mm. I don't. I'm failing you. I'm failing you.
We need your permission to continue.
Hold on. Siri?
Yeah, no, yes. Hey.
What are you doing?
I know, right?
The robots are coming to kill you, Bob.
Yeah, right? So, seriously, I feel like I'm failing you. You need to play this game.
Yes.
Fleet the Dice game is the best roll and write that exists today. Now, that's not to say that something else won't come along.
There's a lot of rolling rights coming.
There's a lot, and there is a lot of rolling rights. This is the year of the rolling rights. There's so many coming out. I'm so excited. You have no idea.
Yeah.
You probably do have an idea, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yes. so, yeah. Fleet the Dice game. Man, you want to talk about theme. That's one of the things that you usually don't get in a rolling right.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of theme in a lot of the rolling rights that I own, and I own a lot of rolling rights.
Yeah,
it's a lot of just rolling dice, taking numbers, placing numbers, drawing tracks. There's not a lot of theme. This is chock full of theme. You feel like you're fishing.
Really?
You feel
nice.
Like, oh man, I gotta go fishing for crabs, or I have to get this boat. I'm gonna run out of fish. I gotta put them in this extra barge. You're building your wharf. There is a lot to this game, and man, if you like chain reactions,
that's really cool.
You're gonna love Fleet the Dice Game. There are so many chain reactions. Nice. I mean, literally, I am making check marks on one paper, getting coins on another paper, crossing over a mark where I get another free check mark on another piece of paper, just back and forth and back. And when you get the right combo and you hit that many check marks, and I know nobody knows what I'm talking about if you haven't played Fleet the Dice Game, but it's absolutely phenomenal. And if you like Roll and Rights and you do not have this game, you need to have this game.
Yeah.
I don't know where you get it. I don't know if it's out.
If you didn't get it on Kickstarter, we're still waiting. So
it's okay. So it is going to go to retail.
Yeah.
Okay. So it is going to go to retail. It's just not there yet, right?
Yep. Not there yet. I keep checking and it's just, it is nowhere to be found yet. So pre-orders, I believe Miniature Market has pre-orders, I believe. So.
Oh, they do. Okay.
I think. So don't quote me on that.
Because I might just order another copy.
Well, you're almost out.
It's because, well, yeah, I'm almost, I've played it, I mean, I've had it for a month and a half, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe 2 months. And, like, I'm more than halfway out of the papers that it come with.
Yep.
I'm going to have to laminate. I need to make sure I save one set of papers to laminate so I can, or copy so I can redo it. Yeah. But I'd much rather just buy replacements to support Matt Riddle and Ben Pinchback,
yep.
You know?
Yep. That would be very cool. I'm trying to look it up now, see if it is for pre-order. Hopefully that's something that we'll be seeing closer to Origins and all that stuff. So hopefully I'll be able to get a copy of that.
I would expect that to be all over the place at Origins.
It should. It definitely should.
Yeah.
So very cool. All right, my last game on my list is the wonderful Bugs on Rugs. This was a game that we did a full review for. When was that? That was a little while ago. I think it was in February. And Bugs on Rugs has quickly become one of my favorite set collection games. What you're doing is you're collecting bugs. I don't know. It's taken the place of Sushi Go, in my opinion. And that's saying something because Sushi Go is so accessible. But I think Bugs and Rugs has a little more meat to it and adds another level, which I really, really enjoy. So what you're doing is you're selecting two bugs on your turn. So let's say there's four players playing. We're going to put out nine bugs on the floor and then or on the table. And then I'm going to choose a bug. Person next to me is going to choose a bug. It's going to go snake drafting, go to the last player, and then come back around. Everybody's going to choose a second bug. And you're collecting sets, so the person who has the most ants is going to get 5 points per an ant card. The person who has the second most ants will get 3 points per an ant card, and then everybody else will get 1 point. So you're wanting to pay attention to what people are taking. And so the spider, I love the feel of like the spider. If you collect the spider's not worth anything unless you collect a fly and discard the fly at the end of the game. So it's like the spider ate the fly and now he's given you 7 points. So it works really, really well. It's a great set collection game. The art is beautiful. I love it. It's definitely one from Kids Table Board Gaming that you need to pick up. I think May 1st is the street date for that one. So if you pre-ordered it, we had a pre-order link on our preview. And so if you pre-ordered it, you should have gotten it by now. But if you didn't, if you made that mistake, you should look for it in May. Because Bugs on Rugs is pretty fantastic. And I really enjoy playing that one.
Wondering where you were going with the likeness to Sushi Go. And after I hear the likeness in the mechanic, I can hear that it sounds like it's plays like that. I'm going to have to try that out. I don't get to play a lot of KTBG.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, while they are fun.
Yeah.
I don't have kids.
Yeah.
So it's me and my wife. So I lean more towards their sister company, or I guess would you call it sister company or Burnt Island?
Burnt Island Games.
Is that,
yeah.
Is that there's what is that what
yeah.
you call it?
Yeah, I guess
okay.
so. Yeah.
Okay. And so we go more towards that end with like Endeavor Age of Sail and In the Hall of the Mountain King.
Yep.
And, you know, things like that, which I'm really excited about. But you know, when I get together with you and the kids,
yeah.
I'm rocking some KTBG, man.
Yep.
You know, but
well, I mean,
Bugs on Rugs and Haunt the House and
Haunt the
Fighters.
House was such a good Haunt the House
really,
was such a
it
solid
really
game.
Was.
We were bringing
it really
I was,
was
bringing that every lunch period. We were getting out there and playing Haunt the House in the fall with all the guys.
It really was. And every you got to bring it back every Halloween.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So, yeah. But yeah, Bugs on Rugs, definitely next time we get together, we will definitely sit down and play that one, and you'll get to see Emily laugh because the larva card is so cute. It's just this little larva that's really cute and it's smiling at
All
you.
Right.
Every time All the right. larva card comes out, she laughs so hard that she can't pay attention. Like she's crying.
I've never seen cute larva, but you know.
Yeah,
well,
she laughs so hard. So we will definitely play that next time, and Emily
that's
will
awesome.
Show you how hard she laughs. So
that's awesome.
Cool. Well, let's go into the topic of the show. On the other side of this break, we're going to talk about some games that deserve a second or third life. Welcome back. We are talking about games that have gone out of print that deserve a reprint. And so the topic of the show kind of comes from, I was online the other day, and Bob and I saw the same post. Somebody was asking about Adventure Time Flux. At Adventure Time Flux, they were saying something about finding it for $48. And if you've got any of the Flux games, they're usually about $15, somewhere around there.
Yeah,
they hover.
$15 probably,
yeah,
max. I 12, think 15. Batman Flux... It's like I paid 20 for one.
Yeah,
time.
Yeah. So they hover around that price range. And somebody was like, I want Adventure Time Flux, but I can't find it under $50. Or I found it for $48, and they said that this was a deal. And somebody chimed in and said, yeah, that's a great deal. Apparently Adventure Time Flux was like $60-$70 or something. And then on top of that, somebody else mentioned that Adventure Time Munchkin was out of print also, and it was way up there. That's my favorite Munchkin. That's my favorite print of the Munchkin series. And then I found out recently that my copy of Outpost 31, the Thing game, John Carpenter's The Thing game, that's out of print now. And so, a copy of that's going for
that.
Yeah, it's going for over $100.
No, it's not.
Yeah. I saw it because somebody said it's out of print. And I said, I just took the shrink wrap off of mine because I've never
yeah.
taken the time to play it or learn it. I said, how much is it worth? And so I saw it. It was 97 somewhere.
Oh.
I was like, what?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So we're talking about games.
Hey, the demand.
Yeah.
It's the demand.
It's the demand. But we're talking about games that deserve a reprint, whether their licenses went out or whether they weren't renewed or for whatever reason. And so one of them that I thought of is a classic game called Can't Stop. It's a pressure luck game that I've actually never played it, but I've seen it and it looks awesome. And I
what?
Know the mechanics. Yeah, because that's the thing. Like,
Ryan.
I've seen it and I know the mechanics and like. I could probably make a paper version of it, but Can't Stop is one of those games that I don't see how people can get a hold of it unless you find it at a garage sale.
Yeah, you could. It's a very easy game to reproduce
yeah.
on your own. But I mean, that comes up a lot actually in conversation as well. People say, why would I pay this much money if I can just use paper? And I'm like, because it's not about that. It's about owning the components.
Yeah.
It's about having a physical copy. But I can't believe you've never played Can't Stop.
I have not.
Dude, when that we're done.
Do you have a copy?
I'm going to out a game this podcast right now. When we are done recording this conversation
okay.
right now, go to boardgamearena.com.
Okay.
And you can play Can't Stop for free.
Okay, I might do that. So,
Yes.
That's
so
funny.
I have never played the physical copy, but I have countless hours of pressing my luck on BoardGameArena.com.
Yeah, yeah.
Yelling at my opponent yeah. because they're doing better than me. Yes.
Yeah, but that's so, a game yeah, that you, people talk about that they can't find, whether they remember it from their childhood or they yes. just, they're like, I can't find a copy of this game. So unless you...
It is a great push-your-luck game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. And I found a copy at a Goodwill store one time in Alabama.
Okay.
And it wasn't a new copy. Mm-hmm. It was an old copy from like... it must have been... I mean, it looked like it was from the 80s.
Yeah.
But I don't know when Can't Stop was invented or created or designed. But it was a very old copy. And I picked it up, and somebody wanted like $40 for it. And I was like, no, I'm going to get a new copy. Well, I probably should have bought that copy.
Yeah.
So I haven't been able to find a new copy, and obviously that's because it's out of print.
Yep. And so, we played a game, you introduced me and Josiah to a game on Sunday called Quandary that's out of print, and it is a pretty fantastic game.
I love Quandary. It is one of, and excuse me, we're going back to Reiner yep. again. I always seem to end up at the doctor.
That's fun. You know? Yeah, yeah.
And this is one of his games, Quandary, and it is a phenomenal odds calculation game of just placing tiles for victory points and collecting tiles for victory points. And man, everybody I introduced that game to is just absolutely loves yeah. it. The tension and the plotting and the calculating in that game is wonderful.
You know what I was thinking of, because this is an out of print game, Quandary would be an interesting game to create out of wood, like wooden tokens and wooden pieces. I think somebody could do a really
easy.
Yeah, I think somebody could do a really classy remake of Quandary using just straight up wood pieces. And
that would be very cool.
Yeah, if I need to become a woodworker for some reason, I might just do that. So,
and while this game is out of print, I am fortunate enough to have a copy.
Yes,
I do not have a copy of Can't Stop. I want one, but I do have a copy of Quandary. But if you ever do take up woodworking,
yeah.
please.
Make one
make
of those.
Make me a copy. Make me a copy of Wooden Quandary.
Yes. It's a cool game. So,
yes.
Raw the Dice Game is a game that you actually have brought into work before and we've played. Tell yes. us about that one and why that deserves a reprint.
So, surprise, surprise, the designer is Dr. Reiner Knizia.
Yep.
the man has over 600 board games
yeah.
designs. So, but yeah, this is a great game, a good, solid version, dice game version of a existing board game called Raw, which is a push your luck tile collection about the Ra, the sun god.
Yeah.
But this is the dice version of it, and it's got a Yahtzee mechanic. It's got a really basic board with a Yahtzee mechanic with six custom die, and you're rolling dice and locking them in, and the time tracker is a little Ra sun god piece, and every time you roll suns on the dice, they automatically get locked. That moves the time tracker along in the game. There are three ages in the game. You're trying to lock in dice and push your luck to get victory points. There's different sections to you to drop cubes onto the board, and it works. It's got the same theme as the original board game, but I love dice. And
yeah.
everyone I play this game with says, man, they need to make a reprint of Ra the Dice Game. And it's such a simple, simplistic dice rolling game, and there's not a whole lot of design
yeah.
to it. I don't want to take anything away from it, but I feel like that's what Reiner does. His games are not overly designed and overly produced. They're simple with tons of strategy.
Yeah, yeah.
And like the guy's a genius.
Yeah.
So what can you say, you know? But that definitely needs a reprint, in my opinion.
Yep. Yeah, it was a fun game when we played. Definitely enjoyed that. So Stone Age recently got a reprint. Now tell me about Stone Age the expansion that deserves a reprint.
The Stone Age expansion, as it's called, definitely deserves a reprint for one fact and one fact alone. It adds a fifth player.
Okay.
And that is a big deal when it comes to Stone Age, because everybody loves Stone Age. It's a classic worker placement game. It's actually probably one of the first worker placement games everybody gets into when you go into that category of worker placement. Stone Age, Lords of Waterdeep, Viticulture, things like that, you know? That falls in that same category of worker placement. And Stone Age, the expansion, adds a fifth player. Adds some extra huts or houses to buy. It adds some extra cards to the deck of cards that they're available to draft. And the fifth player, and it adds a new jewelry section down the bottom. So you say, you know what, five players, man, that board is tight already. Everybody's going to be going after gold. I'm not going to be able to get any. I'm not going to get, you know what I mean? Everybody's going to take up the spots to make babies and get tools, and I'm going to be blocked out of everything.
Yeah.
Well, it adds the new jewelry section, an expansion to the board, to allow a different way to achieve victory point collection by creating pieces of jewelry and turning them in. So
while
it adds the fifth player, it also expands the spot so it doesn't feel overly tight. But I have just played the game with the fifth set of workers.
Okay.
And it works just fine. Sometimes it can feel a little bit tight, but
it doesn't add a significant amount of time to the game, does it?
No, not at all. Mm-mm.
Cool.
No, barely any time added at all, in my experience.
Yeah.
I guess maybe for the first couple of plays, maybe you don't understand the jewelry. It might add a little bit of AP for some players. But that's about it.
Yeah. Well, you have one more game on here that deserves a reprint. Tell us about it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm a Stefan Feld fan, a big Stefan Feld fan. I have a lot of his games, you know, Bora Bora, Castles of Burgundy, which you talked about earlier. I'm a fan of Point Salad, and Bruges is basically another Point Salad game with dice rolling, cards with worker selection, trying to gain victory points and mitigate disasters and dice drafting. And it's just a really good Stefan Feld game. If you know Stefan Feld, you know how this game probably plays. And it's really good, and it's nowhere. It is out of print, and people charge $150, $200
Wow.
For the copy. Yes, it's I get it.
Yeah.
Again, I like to complain, but I don't like to complain because I understand free market, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
If something is in high demand and nobody has it, then
yep.
You know, you're sitting on a gold mine. Yeah. But it is what it is. But I like to employ Tom Vassell, mm-hmm. I think said one time, I'm not going to quote him directly, but it was something along the lines of, if the game is that good,
mm-hmm.
it will get a reprint.
That's true. Yeah.
And that's essentially what he said. And it does happen. It happens a lot. And recently it has happened with Stone Age.
Yep.
It was out of print for a good long while.
Yeah, that was on our wish list for a while, and yes. I thought it would never get a reprint, and then
people were charging $120, $130 for a copy of Stone Age.
That's crazy.
And you can get a copy now for like $45 or $50.
Yep.
They did it with another Reiner Knizia game, too, actually. One was my Grail game.
Yep.
So Winner's Circle,
mm-hmm.
that was out of print for a long time, and I really wanted it, but I almost pulled the trigger a couple times at $110. Wow. But I waited, and then Tree Frog Games out of nowhere just picked it up.
Nice.
And put out a reprint that I think looks better than the original. So I'm glad I got that one. But they did it to another Reiner game, Blue Moon City.
Yep.
And they printed that, and they just reprinted a really good one by Yui Rosenberg at the Gates of Luoyang.
Yep.
So it does happen. So yeah. If your favorite game you cannot get a hold of, just wait and wait and wait
and wait some more.
And wait, and it'll eventually get a reprint.
I honestly worry about some of these games not getting a reprint because we have so many games in the pipeline that are new. You know, I don't think it's a bad thing that we have so much new development in gaming and so many new properties, but I do think that we lose the identity of this hobby sometimes. We lose some of the classics when all we're doing is hunting down the newest thing. You know,
that is the turnover for hotness.
Yeah.
Or what is the best thing?
Yep.
Is quicker in the board game industry than I've ever seen anything. I mean, it's getting faster and faster too. Man, the computer that I bought last year is now out of date, or the phone that I bought 6 months ago is now out of date. I mean, that's the game that I got last week.
Yeah.
The next best one is here already, and that one goes on the shelf. I mean, it is so fast, and people have been saying that the market is oversaturated,
yeah.
And for like 2 years now, and it just doesn't stop.
Yeah, yeah.
People have talked about it being a bubble.
Well, I think you're starting to see Kickstarters not receive as much support as they used to. I think that, you know, I've struggled with keeping up with the amount of Kickstarters that are launching. You know, when five massive games are launched every single Tuesday, and then Thursday another one. What is it?
I got a theory here.
Yeah.
Is it that people are not keeping up or are tired of the Kickstarters, or that people spend all of their money on Kickstarters and have nothing left to spend?
I don't know. Yeah, that's definitely a situation. When I hit a certain number, I can't get any more Kickstarters. I mean, until some of these are fulfilled, it's like I've already put so much money into it, and I don't know if I want to anymore.
It has to be somewhat about budget, too,
yes.
Because honestly, if it were up to you and you had an unlimited amount...
Oh, of course.
There you go.
I would support every... There are so many great developers. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so many
great developers
that put stuff on there. Yeah.
I want to play this. Yeah, it's just...
Yeah. Yeah. So we would love to hear what game you would love to see a reprint of. You can go to oneboardfamily.com and you can find this episode, and just comment in the comments below and let us know what game you wish would get a reprint. One that I was thinking of as we were finishing up this episode, I was thinking about HeroScape, one of my favorite games. Have you ever actually played HeroScape?
I've never played HeroScape. I've only seen pictures.
I have a lot of HeroScape, and I will take that. Oh yeah, man.
You own HeroScape?
A lot of HeroScape. Buckets
really?
Of HeroScape. Yeah. So back when the kids were really little, my wife Erin bought me a set of HeroScape when it first came out. That first Christmas it was out, she bought me HeroScape, the base edition, and then I would save up money. As I got little bonuses and stuff from work and did odd jobs, I would save up money and I would buy expansions. And then I had a friend jump into it. He loved it. He bought a base set. He ended up moving to South Korea and giving me his base set. And then I had another friend spend about $1,200 on his HeroScape habit. And then one day when he was becoming a dad, he was like, I don't have time for this tomfoolery. And he sold it for like $400.
Tomfoolery.
Yeah. Regrets it. He regrets it. And he is actually, now that his son is, I think, 9 years old, he's actually repurchasing.
He probably wants that back.
He's repurchasing all of the HeroScape stuff that he sold off. So
you have all of your HeroScape stuff.
Right? I have it. And we played it so often. I laminated every single one of the cards because we played every night of the week.
Ryan.
Yeah.
What? How many times have I been to your house?
I don't know, but it looks like you got to come over this week.
You got to teach me HeroScape.
It's so good. So, cool. Well, that'll do it for our reprint talk. Bob, thank you so much for joining me on this episode, man. I appreciate you throwing your knowledge around here.
So. Whatever, man. HeroScape.
Now I think you're mad at me. This is awesome. So, hey, maybe you'll be happy about this. Fleet the Dice game, Eagle Griffin Games, on Amazon, $29.99 plus $5.50 shipping. So, and it is available.
Is it a pre-order?
No, it's right now in stock.
What?
You get it Monday, April 22nd. So.
Oh, I'm gonna put that on social media. Yeah. Tell some people.
So yeah, it's it's gonna run you about $35. So,
oh, yeah. That's well worth it. I'd pay 50 for it.
Oh, really? Man.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
All right. Well, that'll do it for this episode of the podcast. Be sure to check us out at oneboardfamily.com. You can follow us on all the social media sites from Twitter to YouTube to Instagram and, of course, Facebook. Head over. Our name on there is One Board Family, B-O-A-R-D. Be sure to check out, we are doing events off and on. Rick is doing an event with Refuge Coffee up in Clarkston. So if you're in the Atlanta area, check that out. We'll make sure to post about it. And then if you're anywhere near north part of Georgia in the Athens area, you can check out Tai Chi Games, which we post about their game days where they do a lot of teaching stuff, which is really cool. And then just recently, we actually were asked to go up to Dirt Roads Cafe in LaGrange, and we actually helped them run a board game day, which we'll be doing another one on a weekend, hopefully coming up in May. So check all that stuff out. We love sharing this hobby, and we would love to play games with you. So until next time, Bob, we'll see you at the table.
Media,
where we all
bring something
to the table.
Pull up a chair
at punchboardmedia.com.